Worms. This is Mr. Michael Dean, broadcasting live and worldwide for a windowless bunker in an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And on the other end of the inner tubes, who do we got and where are you at? And why should we care, sir? Go.
Howdy, y'all. It's Jack Johnson, Western Appalachian.
Hey. Yeah.
Worms.
Yeah.
Worms. So, you're really upset about Archie and Thor being co-opted by the vast left-wing agenda, aren't you?
Yeah, it's bumming me out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I know, this has been that way all day.
Well, we're going to get to that and talk about it, but I got something that's going to cheer you up. It's going to take 3 minutes.
Awesome.
So, when I contact radio stations and say, "Hi, I'm Michael Dean. I have a radio show called The Freedom Fiends. We don't like the government. Would you put us on your radio station?" You know, if I can get them on the phone, which is about 1 in 5, and if they don't say, "Okay, let's start with 100 people I call," 20 of them I actually get a hold of the 100 I call, and five of those say, "We're not looking." So we're down to 15% now out of the 100 I call. Of those, most of them say, "Yeah, man, send me a demo and some information." And or they ask some other questions. When are you on? What time? What's the show like? Etc. It's kind of hard for me because I do this nighttime show. Then I have to wake up and I'm useless for an hour after I wake up. And I generally can start making these calls by 1 in the afternoon. So since we're doing the nighttime show, I don't do it every day anymore, which is why we're slower at getting stations now. Because the thing is, like, it's an early morning job. The early worm gets the radio worm, because a lot of the program directors at radio stations are also the morning drive guy. So they're like in at 4 a.m. on the radio at 5:30 or 6, and then like they have a couple hours afterwards to take phone calls, and then they're gone for the day by noon their time, wherever it is. So like, you know, if I start making calls at 1, I have maybe an hour to do it, and it's, you're gonna have to be like my time zone or California or Alaska. So but sometimes I send them emails, and I don't think I've yet gotten a station that I haven't talked to the guy on the phone. Like, I don't think I've yet gotten a station to add us where it was only email as initial contact, but I send them anyway. And when I do call them and talk to them, they do want a demo link. So basically it's supposed to be like 3 to 4 minutes, 3 minutes long, and supposed to kind of like tell about your show and have some actual clips from your show and give the vibe of the show. And I just realized like I'm still using one with Nima Vidati. You know, it's been, I just haven't had time to make one with Porkfest and all, and getting the new show up and herding the cats like Jack Johnson of Appalachia.
Meow. Meow.
So tonight I sat down and made one, and this is it's a rough cut, but it's a fine rough cut. It's probably like 95% close to what we're actually gonna send out into the world. And I just wanted to play this work in progress on the air, and I'll leave the mic up so you can laugh if you want, Jack, because you probably will.
All right.
I couldn't use all of the co-hosts on here. We have 12 co-hosts and this thing's 3 minutes long, and I wanted to have not just one liner. So, you know, there's like, you're on it, Davi's on it, let's see, Diana's on it, I'm on it, my wife is on it, and somebody else. Yeah, Bill Buford, of course, is on it, and a little bit of Lou. I think that's it. And a lot of it was based on like, had to be good sound quality, had to be, you know, little clips. And like, I edited out some ums and ahs and places I went, I, and things like that to kind of make it, which isn't lying. It's just to make it fit like a lot of stuff in 3 minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and play this and I'll let y'all hear it.
All right.
This will be the new Freedom Fiends demo starting tomorrow for the world, for the foreseeable future.
Freedom Fiends.
Not your grandpa's talk radio.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and friends.
Then do it, man. Then pay it to some private school that's going to do a better job than the government. Don't make it sound like it's your duty to inform people to want more coercion, theft, fraud through governments.
And that's exactly what he's doing. I mean, he just clearly says that's the reason why. He used the phrase, "I like to pay taxes."
Well, at least he didn't say you should pay taxes, which is what some other millionaires are saying these days.
Well, that's what he means.
Oh, they all do it.
Well, there's a line on the tax form where you can give more if you want
$3. To. $3. Well, it's $3 to the presidential reelection fund.
Right.
Yeah. So, Davi, what was your comment about him saying, I like smart people, that's why I pay my taxes for people?
He says, I don't want to live in a society with idiots. And I said, that's exactly why I'm against public school. It is a factory of idiots. It's an assembly line of idiots.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and friends.
Can you tell how this is going to impact the Americans other than the looting and the loss of liberty and just perpetuating the war machine?
Everything that America's been doing since 1898, since it finished exterminating most of the Aboriginal tribes in the United States. When I say exterminate, I mean exterminating their ability to craft their own destinies. This is a money laundering operation for the military-industrial complex, and it will continue apace until the economy collapses.
The Freedom Fiends, armed and peaceful, as it should be.
Mr. Michael Dean, and this is my show, Freedom Fiends.
I love that.
I hope you like it. If you don't, I don't really care. I don't make it for the masses. I make it for the cool weirdos who are up late at night. Who's up late at night? Let's see. Insomniacs, swing shift workers, the homeless. Yeah.
People in other countries.
People in other countries who are at their day job that's 9 to 5. Good point. Good point. The unemployed, the underemployed, the worried. Brothers and sisters, if you are listening and you have fear in your heart tonight, we may have a solution. Put your hands on the radio and feel the healing power of the fiends.
Okay, y'all. Now, if y'all are feeling a little worried tonight and you've got a hamster running around in your brain, we have a solution for you. Just put your hands on your computer or your telephone, and the spirit of the fiends is going to come rushing right through, and it's going to heal you.
Yep. So we were talking before the break about the solution. Your dad has a problem. He's afraid of guns, but that's not really his problem. What's the problem? What's the real problem between you and your daddy, young lady?
Oh, jeez.
Lie back on the couch and tell Dr. Dean, MD, Michael Dean, MD. I'm not an MD. I just play one on the radio.
I guess it's just one of those situations where I feel like I've always sort of been the odd duck.
The odd duck. Yeah, me too.
Freedom Fiends, tasing you with liberty on Genesis Communications Network.
There you go. That is the 95% done. I just have to change some sound levels and EQs of the new master of the Freedom Fiends demo. I heard you laughing a couple times.
Diana, man.
Yep. Yeah, I think it was a good overview of the Fiends because it was like, you know, some kind of playful but serious back and forth with you and Davi and I talking the kind of truth bombs that the Freedom Fiends drop. And then it was Bill Buport just, you know, slaying you with science. Mm-hmm. And then just some total goofing.
Right. Well, I notice a lot of times when you release a show, especially if it's you and D, Diane, y'all put a show out and people immediately like it. And because I think that's kind of like those shows where people can relax after they've had some pretty serious stuff. So, man, that was awesome. She did a preacher pretty well. I think she's probably had some experience living here.
She lives in North Carolina. She's probably encountered that brand of spirituality. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. But it's been a strange week, I guess, in the geek world.
Hang on, though. I want to say Diana.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Diana, I built that.
Yeah.
Like, she's the only person. She's one of the people that people really like a lot on this show. And she had never like spoken into a microphone before. Everybody else on here you've been on radio. Everyone else in here has either had a podcast or has been interviewed on someone's podcast or radio show. I don't even think she's ever called into a radio show. And she was a fan. She said she was listening to us. I was chatting with her on the emails and she seemed really smart. I hadn't even heard her voice. And I had this extra microphone, one of these, you know, cheap $55 USB, not cheap, but really good, kind of inexpensive, you can do radio mics that I discovered that I've been recommending to everybody and buying for everybody and getting for everybody and getting them to get. And you can go to our site and click on the link that's on the right side. It says, get the microphone our co-hosts use. And I was like, you know, I just said, you know, use your headset or something and just record a minute of you talking and send it to me. And she did. And I was like, okay, you're going to be a host on this show now that I'm going to multiple co-hosts. And it worked out, man. People really dig her.
Yeah, it's always fun. She's actually the only fiend that's on my professional Facebook page. Like, and so I get to live vicariously through her stuff when she posts it. Like, I'll see, like, you're on my page.
Did you say vicariously?
Yeah,
North Carolina listening. Yeah.
Bicariously.
Yeah. Bicariously. Okay. You live bicariously.
We'll save that for Archie.
Okay. Yeah.
Make
yeah,
it Thor. Yeah.
Okay. So Archie's yeah, bumming you out, man. And so is Thor. What's up? I don't even know what that is. I mean, Archie, that was cartoons on TV when I was a kid and I haven't really thought about him since then, but apparently, there's a vast left-wing conspiracy that's taken over the comic world. What have they done to you lately?
I don't know. They're trying to turn everybody into either make them all transgendered in a real way, or they're trying to make everybody gay, or they're trying to make everybody go become Islamic. It's just odd. It's like out of the blue, all of the comic book heroes are – there's this great switch-up coming up, and I know you guys talked about – you and Derek J talked about Archie already, so yeah, we won't delving into that.
Derek's gay, and he was upset about what they did to Archie. It wasn't the gay part. It was they had him die. They killed him off, and it was taking a bullet for a gun-grabbing politician from a crazed gun nut.
And it's like the political agenda in this stuff is so obvious, but the one thing that hit me out of nowhere was this whole thing with Thor. Now, last year or a couple years ago when Thor came out as a movie, everybody was like, oh, Heimdall's black, you know, to me that wasn't that big of a deal because, you know, that happened with Othello and a lot of the classics and whatnot. So that was kind of like, okay, it's not correct, but it's what it is. But we'll cover the Thor thing when we get back here in just a second.
Yeah.
It's just not cool.
It's not cool. Worms.
Worms.
After this trip to the market.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is Michael Dean broadcasting live from a windowless bunker. And, yeah, I'm sure the CIA is listening. I think that at this point, there's somebody from the CIA directly, or probably at the NSA, whose job, maybe not just to listen to the Fiends, but I think they probably have an LRN department and maybe a GCN department. They have the GCN and LRN wing of people whose job it is to listen to every show. And, you know, they're recording everything that happens in the world, but they're probably actively listening live. They're probably calling in. They're probably that guy that used to call in and try to swear on the air. So we're talking about the vast left-wing agenda in comics. Wasn't there a theory? Actually, the FBI was like spying on Mad Magazine in the 60s. You know about that?
Yeah, we were talking about that. And they believed, like we were discussing, that they were communist. And yeah, you said they were communists because of.
Oh, part of the reason. And when you say we were talking about that, you mean during the break when none of our listeners can listen to us. You should make that clear. So people don't go, wait, did I fall asleep? I didn't hear that. I think the theory that the FBI had in the 60s was that Mad Magazine at the time cost 10 cents an issue, and somebody, you know, like did some maths there in the CIA or the FBI and figured out that it cost more than they thought. It cost more than 10 cents an issue to publish and distribute that thing. So they thought it must be funded by, you know, the Kremlin or something. And it did. It made fun of everything. And of course, it made fun of, you know, the U.S. military and the war and the presidents and the senators and stuff. So they thought it must be communist. You couldn't possibly criticize the U.S. government unless you're Russian back then, I guess.
I guess that's the reason why everybody has an accounting degree now.
What's the big book of conspiracies? You mentioned that. I don't know what that means.
Well, during the break, we're talking about the big book of conspiracies, and there's like some other stuff called the big book of lies.
But These are actual books, right?
These are comic books, and they actually showed up in Barnes & Noble when I was just starting to kind of get my feet wet back in the late 90s in reading up on conspiracy ideas and whatnot. But they would show up on the bookshelves, and you thought it was like really secret knowledge. But you'd open up, there was always this guy who was like dressed like a man in black, you know, kind of had the backwards fedora and his little hat. You never saw his eyes or anything like that, maybe except when he was rubbing his glasses and telling the story. But it would tell the sad tale of Lee Harvey Oswald, and it'd have all the people that died, you know, that kind of stuff. And I got to thinking about it, you know, if it was a big book of conspiracies, why are they selling it in Barnes & Noble and, you know, and up front in front of the store, you know?
Yeah.
And why has this guy got enough time to do enough comics for, you know, five of these different books? And so I think given the theme of like all the high weirdness going on in comics in general
High weirdness, yeah.
Yeah. that we can say for certain that there's something not right. And I guess we'll have to research it some more and see what the involvement. But you did find that there was a CIA guy that just recently started to do comics, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at this article on thedailybeast.com, which is kind of a left wing. It's actually a news source for news sources. This magazine is they actually have a paywalled section of it that's not the public section that like TV reporters and newspaper writers and magazine writers subscribe to and get special tips and stuff. But, you know, that's probably all controlled by the government spooks of what they want you to talk about. I guess
the big book of the Day of the Beast.
I mean, it just came out today, but this is a true story. I've read it more than one place on the internet. It must be true. That there's a guy, ex-CIA counterterrorism officer who is a writer for the comics, for Batman, for Robin, for Grayson. I don't know. I'm not a comic book guy, but it just came out. There was a Snowden leak that the British equivalent of the NSA is very actively manipulating websites to try to, craft the narrative of everything to the point of like, you know, when there's an online poll on the Daily Mirror or one of those sites, like they'll go in and mess with the results to make, you know, are you happy with the government's performance? You know, and it's really like 15% in England, probably in 2% here. And they change it to like 97.4% or something, things like that.
Yeah, they got people that sit behind computers and click the dislike button on the little hands below each article in the Daily Mail.
And they have robots that, you know, computers that do that too. But they also have people that do that. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a white paper written by the Nudge guy. What's his name? Yeah.
Oh, whatever. Yep. That guy.
Yeah.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
meow, 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 meow. Yeah, I know for those listening out there on the feeds that we sound like we're offbeat, but we're not. If you listen to the podcast of this when it comes out, we're absolutely on beat. At least I am. And there's a little bit of delay between my windowless bunker and the GCN studio. That's how radio works. It's about a quarter of a second. So I am – notice that I am consistently offbeat when you're listening because it's on beat here and it's a quarter second delay from the music. So we were talking about libertarian paternalism, which is a horrible idea. Okay, there's this guy, Cass Sunstein. That's who I was thinking of. He wrote a book called Nudge, which is about – okay, now this guy was like put in office by George Bush and he's loved by Barack Obama and he was the like czar of everything, the regulatory office – administrator of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. How Soviet does that sound? Let me say it again. He was the administrator of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. He was put in, you know, he's basically called the everything czar, the czar of he's kind of like the man behind the curtain who helps run everything and control all your lives that hides in plain sight. He is an attorney. He's recently stepped down for this position. He's going to be the next Supreme Court judge.
Wow.
That's the theory. Yeah. Now think about anybody out there who's a Republican or a Democrat and thinks your team is better than the other team. Think about this. This guy who wants to regulate everything with like sinister means was put in office by George W. Bush. And he's probably going to be appointed as a Supreme Court judge by Barack Obama.
There you go.
Cass Sunstein believes that meat is murder, hunting should be illegal, guns should be illegal, nutrition should be mandatory, and everything. Like all of your worst liberal nightmares, this guy wants to nudge you into compliance with. And his thing about Nudge is the name of his book, and it's about, you know, things you can't get done with laws, get done with like policies of suggestion. Like, for instance, write strongly worded papers to scholars that'll filter down to merchants so they'll order more healthy food and less food that people want to eat. And they'll put the healthy food no one wants to eat up front in the displays. And you'll have to go like digging in the back and it's hard to find, you know, the red meat and the sugar and things like that. Mm. And he's like that about smoking. He's like that about, you know, public use of wild lands. Like he basically wants to get rid of all the hunting and make it so hard to do that you can barely do it, and fishing. And it's kind of funny. His book is called Nudge, and it kind of sounds like nudge, which is a Yiddish term for someone who's a busybody and up in other people's business. He is a nudge. He's the nudge czar. And he wrote a white paper in the Bush administration about, like, it was something called, like, how to counteract conspiracy theories on the internet. And it basically had a bunch of suggestions of like, well, we can't outlaw this on the internet when people make up conspiracy theories like, oh, you know, anything that's
Cass true. Sunstein's evil.
Yeah, like Cass Sunstein's evil, you know, or Barack Obama hates black people or, you know, any other conspiracy.
Right.
And he does because he hasn't ended the war on drugs, mm-hmm. which affects blacks more than whites. So, yeah, Barack Obama hates black people. And he hates anyone who doesn't love the works of Cass Sunstein, basically. That's his racialism. But one of the suggestions in this was literally having government employees, people hired by the government, to counteract on forums. You know, like when people say, oh, the government didn't try in Benghazi to save those Marines – to have like 10 people at government computers sitting around and going, no, they did because of blah, blah, and blah, 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 blah. The government cared and they tried, like things like that. I feel like if I go on Facebook, I feel like half the people I'm dealing with are those people, you know? And then even more than that, like, I feel like Facebook is intentionally keeping my posts from being seen by people who've subscribed to see them. I'm pretty sure of that, because the Freedom Fiend site has like 1300 followers or something. And I used to post something and get, you know, 30 or 40 or 50 likes and a lot of comments. And now I post something that's even better than what I used to post. And I get like 2 likes and 1 comment. I just think they're not seeing it.
They've made some weird setting change now where you have to actually select to see that in your feed. Yeah. And a lot of people are complaining about it. But that's part of the way they censor people, and it doesn't look like they're censoring people.
It's also the part of the way they market to people.
Yeah, yeah. I know they try to get you
when you post something now, about every fourth time you post, you get an offer to pay money to like get it seen. Have you ever gotten that?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I have too. Yeah. I help out with the Shakespeare group.
Pay us and we'll let your fans see what they want to see.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
That's why I'm barely on Facebook. I do everything on my site. So you know, it's my property. I have the rules. So go on, Shakespeare.
No, well, I see that all the time. I do some work for a local Shakespeare company that has their Facebook page tied in to mine, and I'll see that come up from time. Wouldn't you like to let people know about this new play coming out? Please pay us $40 for 50 people to see it. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. So,
yeah.
Wherefore art my likes, you know?
Wherefore art my likes.
My likes.
Whether it is more noble to suffer the payment of likes. So tell me about your feelings about Thor. What happened with Thor? I don't even know about what Thor is, other than, you know, something from the past O's.
Okay, let me start out. For people that don't know that they're new listening to this show, I am Norwegian and American Indian. And Thor, I know that's kind of odd mix for a southerner, but that's how it worked. And so what ended up happening, Thor became this...
When your ancestors met and mated, they weren't planning, how will this be seen in 100 years, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? They just were in love or, whatever.
Right, so Marvel took Thor and ran with it, and they created this entire genre of this just weird thing where suddenly it went from being that they lived in Midgar to suddenly that Midgar was this planet, and they were all aliens, and you know, Sleipnir wasn't actually a horse; it was this giant, huge spaceship, rocket, Nazi looking thing. And I was just like, "Is this really happening?" You know, and then this week, Marvel Comics announced that they were going to make Thor permanently a woman, not Thorita, like Thor was known in 99 or, you know. And there is some precedence for it in the old Eddas. That's what they're called in the Norse legends. And because Thor had to get dressed up as a bride in order to get back his famous hammer, which is known as Mjolnir, not the big hammer of killing. And so that's known, but they've never considered Thor to be a straight woman.
Okay, I got to interject here. If you could just shelf that for a sec. The guy who's replacing Cass Sunstein as the czar of everything is named Boris Burshtin, and he was born in the Soviet Union. So, like, literally, they got a commie, like an old school, you know, born in 1977 in Kiev, Soviet Union. Okay, go on.
You can't make this up.
Unless Marvel. I mean, like, this sounds like something in Marvel. Like,
Marvel
the president's
Comics,
number one advisor, secret advisor, has to get replaced with a former Soviet Union, you know, apparatchik.
And that's what we're talking about. I guess that the whole thing nowadays is everything's just being turned on its head. And a lot of folks – now, I'll tell you how Norwegian culture works versus American Indian. When Marvel screws with American Indian folklore and legend, there's always a protest. I mean, American Indians hit the street. They go out there. They you know, Marvel's like, we're not touching American Indians. But Scandinavians, who are notoriously liberal in their viewpoints and very permissive and whatnot, surprising for Vikings. But
the Norwegians are what's left of the stock after all the Vikings were murdered by the Romans and the Christians.
Right, right.
It's like the Native Americans were warriors, and the warriors all got killed off, and the ones that are left, a lot of them don't have that warrior spirit. You right. do. You do, though.
Yeah.
And if they do, couple, if yeah, they do, you know, the white man gives them fire water and puts them on a reservation and gives them welfare checks. That's the truth, man. That's
that
you know,
is the truth. Absolute truth. I mean, they have,
they keep them,
you know,
down, man.
Yeah, they do that. And I guess comic books is a way of destroying people's cultural icons. I've never really thought of it that way. But I guess tonight I'm making that revelation in my own head. And Marvel, part of the theme of this whole thing we've been looking at is Marvel seems to be pushing some type of agenda, whether it's, you know, Archie saving gay guy from killer gun guy, or, you know, Superman becoming Islamic and, you know, saying American sucks, and Thor, you know, turning Thorita. I mean, it's just the way it just seems like the way things are going. And a lot of people that are under 20, they're like, oh, this is great. And I'm like, no, this is crazy. Y'all don't understand how bad this is. Not, I'm not saying that this shouldn't happen, that some creative license shouldn't happen, because, I mean, nobody really said anything when Thor took off on a UFO, you know. But
well,
I think
him actually, you gotta think, like, what's going on in reality. Having a, you know, former Soviet citizen being right. one of the main advisors to the U.S. president, that sounds like, you know, a night, like, that sounds like something that would happen in Superman, that Superman would defeat in a comic in 1965, doesn't it?
Yeah, I kind of hope that's what's going to happen. You know, where's Superman at right
and
now?
And I don't know. I don't know. You know what? Yeah. I have no problem with any person of any country, any race, or any you know, ethnicity or any religion doing anything. But the fact that they have this position that's so high in the U.S. federal government, so close to the president, that is basically the office of Sovietizing America, and they've replaced it
right.
with a Soviet, is noteworthy.
It's not just happenstance. This is intentional.
I picture like Obama and a couple of his advisors, like, looking at a short list of people for this position and going like, get to the Soviet, man, and just cracking up. I really picture that. Like, that'll make everyone peed off. Yeah.
It seems like what they're trying to do right now is make everybody mad.
I know. We're just laughing at it.
That's right.
Oh, Cass Sunstein calls his brand of nudging libertarian paternalism. And if you search libertarian podcast, he's the first thing that comes up on iTunes. How horrible is that?
Oh.
He's not libertarian.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Worms.
Worms. Go on with your bad worm self there, Jack Johnson.
Worms. Worms. Yeah. Hey, what's up, man, Michael?
We should try some different sound effects here. I kind of like the pitch shift. This is the pitch shift of the central scrutinizer. We're working very hard.
Run!
We're working very hard to take your money, to keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. Yeah, okay. So, fun with stuff. I think I finished with Cass Sunstein. I don't know, man. That guy just angries up my blood so much. It's so Soviet. This is news to me. I just found this out tonight that he's being replaced by a Soviet in his Soviet. He is the central scrutinizer. Like, Cass Sunstein's job description, whatever it is, you know, that ridiculous. It basically boils down to central scrutinizer. You know, he is the He was the administrator of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. That sounds so Soviet.
I mean, man, as you would say, that sounds so square.
You know, I wouldn't be amazed to find out someday in the near future that Cass Sunstein is responsible for these changes in your comic books.
Mm-hmm. He probably is. I mean, didn't you said he shows up when you type in Libertarian Podcast on top of the search?
On
right?
iTunes, he is the first thing on that iTunes. Comes up. And he is so not libertarian. Like, that's how Soviet he is. He uses the word libertarian paternalism.
They co-opt it.
Which is absolutely, you know, contradictory. Libertarian paternalism. Like, we will be your federal family in a libertarian way. And the libertarian part of it is he says, you know, it's not passing laws to do things. It's putting the good choices, what the parental government has decided is the best choice for everything, for everybody, at the front of the aisle, literally and figuratively, you know. But he's also really into passing laws, but his job description is like covering everything that they can't get laws passed against fast enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking now on the Marvel website, and it seems like Cass Sunstein may have inputted with the current Thor comic. So
I'm going to do a search while you tell me about the Norwegian community. You know what's funny? I remember there was some, you know, there's a term like welching on a bet or a debt, you know, not paying something you're supposed to pay. And, you know, some politician, American, you know, congressman or something in the past 5 years or so used that term of like, my opponent is welching on his promises. And there, I saw this headline that there was an outrage from the Welsh community. And I'm part Welsh. And I'm thinking like, there's a Welsh community. I've never been invited. I've never heard of it.
Kimmery. Yeah. Well, what essentially happened was I broached the topic with the Norwegian community online, and we actually do have a community group, and it's 50,000 total members in the United States, and I think 3,000 on the unofficial Facebook and 2,200 on the official Facebook page. And you don't post stuff like this on the official page. You post it on the unofficial page. And when I posted it, a lot of people were like, well, a lot of women posted up, well, that's great. That's a wonderful thing. And I was like, not really, because you know, if children are literally going to believe Norwegian kids or American Norwegian kids are going to literally believe that Thor is a woman growing up when that's so far from what the story is really about. And that was my main, it's not, the kids don't differentiate between what's a Marvel comic and what's actually true. I mean, there's people today. Have you ever read American Gods by Neil Gaiman?
No. I know, okay, it's a graphic novel, right?
It's a graphic. Yeah. Well, it's got a main novel, and then there is some cartoon stuff that goes along with the book, but it's mainly a book. And that takes Odin, ironically, as well, and kind of puts him through the ringer as being this pedophilic kind of guy that just chases skirt all the time with young girls. And so that's pretty much the theme of the whole book. And it takes the Norwegian theory of rites of manhood initiation and twist it to be totally something different. So this isn't anything new that they do all the time. Part of it's just like, and I think in Neil Gaiman's case, just taking a story and changing it into something else. But with Thor being a woman, nah, man, that ain't cool. You know, that's something that, and I was able to make people see that. Yeah, man. So we're done with Thor. So when we come back, we've got other stuff to go into for sure. And we'll talk to you soon when we get back from the break. This is Jack Johnson with
Michael W. Dean. I think I'm going to call this episode, Did Cass Sunstein Turn Marvel Comics Thor and Archie into Gay Muslim Transgender Gun Grabbers? I have to check with our Muslim and gay desk to see if that'll be okay. But I'll get back to you. In the next hour, let's say hour two of the Freedom Fiends coming up next. Worms.
Hey, there's some Squisscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $5 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, worms.
Worms.
This is the central scrutinizer. We're working very hard to take your money, to spend it on things like keeping you from hearing Freedom Fiends. Do not torrent Freedom Fiends. Do not torrent Freedom Fiends. Do not torrent Freedom Fiends.
I feel like Cass Sunstein is the central scrutinizer. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So,
from now on, go ahead.
Go ahead. Over.
So you were, I think you should make him the central scrutinizer. Like, that's, if we ever say that, that's what we, that's our code word for Cass Sunstein, like his libertarian paternalism. So,
yeah. So you wanted, being from the South, you wanted to talk about the Ku Klux Klan, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if you'd like to, I'm kidding.
Come on, man. Don't even joke.
Well, so what ended up happening was Diana sent us an article on Facebook today about the Klan recruiting in her town. I'll leave that part out. But she posted online like they had been putting stickers on cars that say, "Are you tired of all this immigration? Don't you hate our black president?" I mean, literally, like, that's the kind of stuff that they were putting on cars to recruit membership. Now, we were jokingly saying, like, they increased their membership this week by 3 times here in North Carolina. But, and they went from 5 people to 15. But in seriousness, though, more than 3 times growth in any type of group, that's a pretty large percentage. And I think Diana was really concerned about it. And the thing I wanted to share is, like, I've noticed that stuff just doesn't happen in her part of the state. It happens up here too. And we had an incident just recently where an officer pulled over a guy from Mexico that was, you know, by U.S. standards, was a legal alien. And she goes up to talk to him on his car, and he pushes her away, and then she tries to grab him. He holds her and drags her down the street for about 100 yards. And this was in a news source. You can look it up in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm not going to give out their name. But if you look at the comments, all comments except for a couple of them are negative. I mean, if you ever wanted to say comments were racist, that's it. And it's been a pretty much a boom year for, like, the Klan and those types of groups being able to recruit people. And they've been using the immigration issue as a way of getting people to jump on board. And that's been going on now for about 2 or 3 years. I remember heading back home. I won't say where, but I remember heading back home, and a lot of the American flags were coming off houses, and the old Confederate stars and bars were starting to go up on the houses. And I remember heading back home for Christmas just, I think, this past year, and I looked up at a lot of the places that I was at, and for the miles and miles I went through the country, all you could see were Confederate stars and bars, and you saw a lot less of the American flag. Like, I saw a couple American flags.
Well, now, and to be clear, that flag is considered a symbol of racism by a lot of Northerners East and West Coast people.
Right.
But people who are not racist fly it, and it's more of a sovereignty kind of thing, right?
Right. What I'm saying is it shows a profound shift in the way Southerners are thinking right now.
Because you don't see that anymore. You see it more again.
Right. Well, I see it more now than I did growing up, because people didn't join the Klan growing up. I mean, it was the 80s, and you know, people were more worried about
Thriller. I'm amazed that there are so many people in the South who love the South and identify with the South, like, you know, first and American second, but they're still fiercely patriotic, and they're based, you know, anybody who says the South will rise again and loves America is not, you know, they are beholden to their captors, you know, because America is the whole thing with the federal government, and that is what destroyed them when they tried to leave.
Well, that's what concerns me with the mixing of the, I guess, white nationalism and Southern nationalism is kind of mixed together now in many circles. I'm not saying like in all circles. Don't get me wrong, because there's a lot of people that are proud to be from the South that are also black. You know, I know a guy here in town, a Civil War reenactor, whose family was black and fought on the side of the South. How that works, you know, I guess you had an earlier episode where we talked about this kind of stuff.
And there are Muslims who fly the stars and bars, too.
Right. Yeah, correct. Yeah.
There are redneck Muslims who are proud rednecks, like Will Coley and his friends.
Right. And so you can't say everybody who flies and there's a girl that I kind of talked to, she's from New Jersey, and I explained kind of like you can't think that everybody that flies the stars and bars is racist, because a lot of people are just very proud, and it shows their hatred towards what the U.S. government's doing, whether it's the immigration issue or anything like that. So it's a very complex issue what's going on here, but the fact is that things are starting to turn away from a lot of the parts of the South identifying with Washington, D.C. And what's amazing is Washington, D.C. has to know this. They have to know what's going on here. You won't see it on the news that often except for a couple of articles. And the way they make it sound is like it's not that big of a deal. But if you live on the ground,
you know, to get into the – I've stayed completely out of the argument – about the kids that are coming here, you know, over without papers. But I kind of look at it, you know, and I think anyone should be able to go anywhere. I think I heard it said well today on Free Talk Live. I don't think America has an immigration problem. I think it has a welfare problem. You know, get rid of all the free money for everyone, not just, you know, people who want to come here and not work, or people who come here and want to work but haven't started working, and people that want to lay on their couch and not work, but also like corporate welfare, farm subsidy welfare. Get rid of all of it, and I'd be fine with pretty much open borders. But I really do think there must be some kind of conspiracy of all of a sudden these kids without parents coming to America. Like somebody said, yeah, go there and you can be the anchors for your parents, and you know, you'll get amnesty. It didn't just happen spontaneously, and I really believe that. You know, the federal government is behind it in some way. Basically, I just had a thought is like most Americans really don't like the government. So they're bringing a bunch of new, fresh people here to like train to like the government, you know?
Right. Right. We're going to take your children to these government facilities. So you won't see them for a while, but they'll come back thinking different.
Yes. Yeah. Welcome to America and to here to administer your oath as a citizen, as a new citizen, is our friend Cass Sunstein. Yeah.
Steen.
He's probably behind it, maybe. He's going to nudge them into being Americans.
As opposed to Nudge.
Yeah, Nudge. Nudge is a Yiddish a saying for a busybody. I think I said that before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a Nudge.
Right.
I call his book Nudge. It's spelled the same.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so I think that what we're seeing now is that there's this – and this is just me and this is my theory. And I think that they're using a lot of these groups that believe in this white nationalist kind of state are using the situation with the federal government, which they don't like really, but their solution isn't that great either. Is they're trying to say to these, look at what's going on. Soon your kids will all be speaking these weird languages. You know, what are you going to do? Your children are going to grow up and America is going to look like a literal version of Idiocracy by Mike Judge, you know, the movie. And so a lot of people are getting scared and they're joining an organization that years ago nobody would have actually joined. And,
yeah,
and that's
The ironic, oh, go ahead, finish that sentence.
And as a Southerner, to me, it's kind of like, and I grew up with a lot of people. I grew up very colorblind, being from a mixed background of American Indian Norwegian. So I had a lot of dichotomies I was dealing with. Mom's family being American Indian were extremely broke. Dad's family were wealthy, you know, and so I always saw things through this lens. You know, I was holding these concepts that life wasn't exactly as it was presented by either side. And the concept of the Klan growing up was all, you know, it was kind of like this boogeyman in a corner that got drug out from now and then, nobody had seen for years. And I never realized it was a big issue until I was telling my friend this tonight, that I brought a couple of black guys home with me that were really close friends of mine, and it was during the time period that Fat Boys, you know, was on the air. Yeah, that. And so we were all into that kind of stuff, and I invited them to come home and come camping with me. And to me, I really can't see a lot of times the difference. I mean, I am proud of my Scandinavian heritage for sure, but I'm also equally proud to be, you know, Eastern Band Cherokee. So I think that what I started to realize was that the Klan was very much still there. And these seeds that, you know, whether it's kind of like hatred for the United States or La Raza or the Klan or anything like that, they were planted by some of these guys that do, you know, work like Cass Sunstein, where they create divisions within cultures.
Oh, I'm wondering if the resurgence of the Klan is orchestrated by the government. I mean, it's historically for the past 50 years, something like 10-20% of all members of the Klan are said to be FBI infiltrators.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's an old joke, there was an old Soviet joke that when three gather to conspire, two of them are KGB and one of them is a fool.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said that there's a saying that during the 40s, the Communist Party in the United States would have withered except for the dues that were being paid by informants who'd infiltrated it.
Mm. Mm. I wouldn't doubt it.
They infiltrate everything. They infiltrate good stuff, bad stuff, you know, bad stuff, mm-hmm. good stuff. And I'll give a little shout out here for the book Rats, which is a book mm-hmm. on spotting snitches in your organization or snitches or agent provocateurs. It's by Claire Wolf. It's free. It's an online book. It's an ebook. Go to rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should definitely talk about that later too.
You know that like the a lot of the Muslim, you know, the crazy violent Muslims in the Middle East, the small percentage of them that are crazy and violent, a lot of that was orchestrated by the CIA in the 60s in the Cold War. There was like a think tank at the University of Nebraska where they were writing these like radicalizing documents and then paid to print them into books, translate them into Arabic and Farsi, and like hand them out all over the Middle East. Because basically, like, you know, the US was trying to get, you know, this faction to go against this dictator who wasn't happy with the US so they could install a more pro US dictator for oil or whatever. That happened all over the place, and they had no like thought with the long term of that. Like, they just thought, oh, we'll create this thing, it'll be over in a week. No, it sticks around. Mm-hmm. Man. Worms.
Oh man.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
And that was the song "Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector" by the band Right Arm of Wyoming, and that is my band. That's me playing everything. So, what would you have to explain to your pastor? I missed that. if you moved to Burnsville, Minnesota, and you had to get two Viking goddesses to keep you warm?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And to be clear, if my mom listened to the show, I do tell people that I have a little bit of English and Scotch-Irish in there. But, yeah. She always
tell everybody the truth.
You're a Euro-mutt. Euro-mutt. Yep.
With the Pocahontas princess in the background.
Go on.
But I guess the thing that we were talking about with the Klan being infiltrated was that what's really ironic is here in North Carolina, most people that were in the Klan were also in the Democratic Party, and a lot of them also worked in government. And still that way.
Yeah, the Democrats were incredibly racist until the Civil Rights Movement kind of took it over, and good for them, but – it's government. It's stupid. But LBJ, okay, like, you know, Kennedy was killed probably because he wasn't racist. Who knows? I mean, who knows why Kennedy was killed? I don't even want to touch that one because that's the granddaddy of all conspiracy theories. And I don't know, man, but I really doubt it was one guy with a rifle or, you know, one guy acting alone with a rifle. But yeah, the guy that replaced him, LBJ, you know, the Democrat who loved war and hated freedom, like all of them. And, you know, the one that they used to chant, hey, 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 LBJ, how many kids did you kill today during the Vietnam War? Back when people didn't just love a party, you know, when the hippies and the youths didn't just love Democrats. Yeah, the LBJ was horrible, man. There's like been tapes released, like he recorded a lot of his calls, or the CIA did or something, and it's finally been released, and it's like he's using the N-word all over the place, and he didn't want blacks to have any power. And, you know, that the term black power, like the radicalized black power movement of the 60s and 70s, what that came out of was like blacks being systematically like murdered and threatened and kept out of the political process and told not to register to vote. And they finally got to where, like, in the 64 election, like, they came in with their delegate. They had enough votes to do it, finally, from people, like, risking their lives and dying to go down to the South and mm-hmm. register people. And they were shut out. And some people said, no, we got to keep Martin Luther King was like, we got to keep trying to work within the system. We don't want violence. And there were a lot of people who were just fed up with it, who were like, no, man, it's time for violence. And we need black power by any means necessary. Like, that's where that came out of. It was like, if you shut people out of having any power and any rights and any freedom long enough, some of them are going to start talking about violence. It's inevitable. And, you know, I think the government likes to, they like to spy on those things. They like to infiltrate them, the peaceful and the non-peaceful. They like to, you know, MLK was completely peaceful, and the FBI sent him a letter saying, you know, we know you're cheating on your wife. We're going to out you if you don't stop being a leader. And, why don't you just put your gun in your mouth? You know, they were serious about it.
And we saw that a lot with the militia movement back in the '90s and the prepper movement in the current era, where they've just like, there's all these weird people that show up and nobody knows who they are. And they just seem to, they're agitators.
Yeah. When Ian Freeman was on the show last night with Derek J, and we were talking about snitches, and at the end of it, he joked, like, stop snitching, Michael. And he knows I'm not a snitch. He was just joking around. Mm-hmm. But I said, like, I would be a horrible snitch because I don't want to talk to people, you know, like I want to be heard and have an audience, but I don't really like it when the audience talks back. I like it when they say, hey, man, good show, or whatever, or hand me $100 and say good show, like a guy did at Porkfest, and it blew my mind. But, you know, anytime anybody starts talking about not even just anything illegal, I block them. You know, I don't want to hear more. And a snitch would be like, tell me more, you know, at the least, if not saying tell me more. And here, why don't you do this also, which is even worse, you know? I would just be so bad. I wouldn't, if I were in Gitmo being tortured, like, I wouldn't have any useful information, man. You know, the only thing I know is, like, yeah, I saw some people smoking weed at Porkfest, and, you know, those same people are, like, on the radio saying, I'm at Porkfest smoking weed, and my name is, you know, it's like, I don't have any useful information.
They're in the day, whatever, and you can't.
Yeah. At least. Yeah. I think Cast Unseen just pressed the button that makes your Skype sound bad. So I'm going to talk. We're going to go to the market. We're going to come back with more of telling you what's wrong with everything you know, everything your neighbors think, and why you're right to be listening to us.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
How's your brain, John? Is your brain good? Is your brain feeling good, John?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
All right. So you want to talk about the government and how stupid it is. Was that it? Was that the plan?
Well, in specifics, but in general, yeah, that's true too. but we were talking during the break that the odd part about like prepping is that you go to like ready.gov and it's like, have your 3-day bug out bag. And then you see also that they've got some type of
list
for anybody that's got extra.
Oh yeah. Well,
it's, watch list.
Yeah. I mean, the U.S. government has double standards with everything. I mean, there are parts of the government that tell you to have 3 days worth of food. And then there's other parts of the government that say, if you have 3 days worth of food, you might be a terrorist. Yeah.
Right. And it's really odd. And they publish a list that say, if you've got this much food, then you're obviously preparing to do something bad. and that doesn't make any sense. They'd have to arrest half the state of Utah. You know, yeah. if they did that.
Well, and a lot of Wyoming too. There's a lot of Mormons in Wyoming and they prep, man. I mean, it's like, I don't know if it's a religious requirement, but it's a social religious requirement to, not only like be able to take, you know, have enough food for like your family and a bunch of, a couple other families, if need be, for a year.
Right. And I think that's a great idea. That's one of the shining good aspects of Mormonism, is they do require their people to have some semblance of preparedness and self-sufficiency. And that said, it's also really confusing when you get back to the general American population, where there's FEMA's kind of telling people to have like 3-day supply for bug out. And do you know where your family's
at? The thing
at?
Is, 3-day supply, I mean, I have a 3-day supply, not even counting prep stuff. At any given time, you know, we have more than 3 days worth of food. I mean, we probably have 10 days worth of food any given time, you know. I mean, that's not even prepping, that's just buying groceries,
right? And you made a list just by doing that, you know.
Yeah, well, the thing is like in places like New York City, there are people in apartments who, you know, if the power goes out for 24 hours, like they're ready to riot and kill their neighbors because they're starving, you know, or they think they're starving. They're like, they're so used to, you know, a lifestyle of comfort and a lifestyle of like, you know, you just buy what you need for that night at the bodega or something like that. The bodega that you live above.
Yeah. I mean, and people do, like you pointed out, people do live like that. And yeah. To me, I grown up on a farm, I could never think about living that way. There's just that minimal non-ready supply. I freak out if the house has less than 2 weeks of food, because I think you're not doing the right thing. You know, that's kind of the way of it. The prepping community in general, though, getting back to our theme, the 20% rule also applies to them. And
what is that? Say that what it is for people that don't know.
Okay, the 20% rule is that anytime that you have any type of alternative culture, be it preppers, militia people, or anything like that, you've got 20%
of people
generally. To cosplay, Dragon Con, you know, all the people dressed up as Sailor Moon, 20% of those people dressed up as Sailor Moon are going to be feds. And so,
is that the 20% rule? I thought the 20% rule was something like 20% of all people cause 80% of the problems or something like that.
Well, that's also true, too, if you think about it. But I wanted to – I saw – if you don't mind a second, I saw Bernie Green's online. And I am working on the script for the show for this week, Bernie, if you're out there. Because he's listening in England, and it's only like 7:38 there. But Bernie gets up pretty early.
Yeah.
That said
– we like Bernie and his podcast, yes, awesome. The Life, Liberty, and – I keep wanting to say poverty, property, life, liberty, and because it is England, you know, where everyone's like forced to be impoverished, but by the government, because, you know, England is like the U.S. just 5 years in the future, basically, as far as tyranny and oversight. Yeah.
Yeah. And it breaks my heart. I talk to a lot of my English friends all the time, and some of the things they tell me, I said, you know, that's not normal. Don't accept that. and it's just, you know. What can you do? But I think Bernie's going to make a dent in that.
You know what? I don't. Yeah, I hope so too. You know what I don't understand about American liberals? I don't understand why American liberals are so anti-gun, but they're also like anti 1%. And basically, if you're anti-gun and you're anti 1%, it's a contradiction, because what you're saying is you only want the agents of the 1% to have guns.
Yeah, you're not against guns, really. You're against anybody but the state having guns, which is a great, huge contradiction.
I like the 60s hippies. They armed themselves. They were also like they were coming back from Vietnam, too. And they realized, you know, as horrible as what they were having to do over there was, they realized the value of a rifle. Like the guy, you know, my sister dated this guy. I used to hang out with them in New Hampshire, like pretty close to where Porkfest was in Lebanon, New Hampshire, not far from there. When I was a kid, I used to summer there with them, and her boyfriend was a Vietnam vet, and he kept a loaded M1 Garand, you know, not even an AR platform rifle, but an M1 Garand. Like he got a surplus World War II rifle, kept it loaded in the trunk of his car. And this guy was by all appearances, you know, peace loving, mellow, hippie, you know, looked like Jesus if Jesus had been a Marine, you know, like he had long hair, beautiful face, beard, you know, looked like, oh, beautiful, skinny hippie, but not skinny, but like, you know, also like was the only hippie I ever met that did like 100 sit-ups and push-ups every morning before breakfast. So, yeah, man, I like that kind of hippies.
We need more of that.
Yeah. So go on.
But just to me, though, with the situation being as it is, I won't show up for, we'll say prepper con. That's a good generic term. I won't show up for prepper conventions because it's just like you get so much weird stuff. It's almost like, hey, Klan's recruiting today, you know, like we already talked about earlier.
Well,
or
you get a lot of feds, too.
Yeah, you get a lot of feds.
There is a prepper con, and I think it's in your town. It's in Charlotte, North Carolina. Isn't that where you are?
No, I'm not. I'm up in the mountains. Charlotte's down towards the middle, almost at the coast. But
okay, well, there is something called prepper con. So,
right. Okay, if we're saying generic.
Yeah.
So, con prep, maybe? So
con prep. There you go. Con prep sounds like a CIA counterintelligence program to infiltrate prepper con. Prepper con.
Right.
Con prep. Yeah.
We're helping them out with their three-letter words and other things tonight. But I just get really leery of being involved with stuff. And I think that when you brought up Claire Wolfe's book about how to spot snitches, I mean, Claire's been at this for a while. I mean, she was the first alternative author I read when I was on the internet. Back when one image and a page and some text, man. I mean, I found CurlyWolf.net. I think that was the name of the site back then.
Yeah.
And I read her stuff, and it changed my mind. I mean, I was working for the government then, and I was also just got out of the military, and there was a whole lot of federalism going on in my mind. And when I started to read her work specifically, I begin to shift my consciousness away from that world and say, "There's I like this way. This is how I grew up as a child, free. You know, this is where I want to go, free with guns, you know?"
Yeah.
And she has had a huge impact on a lot of folks like that over the years. I don't think she realizes how much. And you don't hear about her because they don't want you hearing about her unless you're
well, I am really dismayed with the new crop of young libertarians who don't know about Claire Wolfe and Boston Tea Party. And some of them know about Boston because, like, he spoke at Porkfest. But, you know, there's some OG, you know, original gangsta, as they say in the rap community. But, you know, they're not gangsters. They're old guard, OG. There's some older libertarians that I really want to do what I can to bring my friends, you know, my Porkfest friends, let's say, you know, and everyone that listens to The Fiends into awareness of. And a really good place to start is Claire Wolfe's book, Rats, at rats-nosnitch.com. You know, another, I realized, I read the book, but then I didn't notice that on the site, she actually has a zip file of the whole thing as like a folder that you can just put on your website and host the whole thing yourself. And she wants people to, like, she sells books, but she gave this one away as a labor of love because it's so important. And I wrote and told her that I did I made a 30-second radio ad for it the other day. And, I'm going to give her 2 months of free ad time. You know, I don't usually do that for people. I usually sell ad time, but I'm giving this book and her 2 months of daily Fiends ad time for this book because it's so important. And it's, she doesn't just write, you know, how to and factual stuff like that. She writes fiction that's really fun and amazing. I would really recommend checking out her books on Amazon. And you know, also check out Boston Tea Party. There's a lot of stuff that came before, and it's not just a matter of like, you young kids have no respect for your roots. You know, it's more like, man, these are the people that paved the way. Like, these are the people that were on FBI watch lists for what they were doing when most of the Fiend fans were in short pants riding a tricycle, you know? Really, right. Check out C-L-A-I-R-E-W-O-L-F-E. And she's a friend of mine. I wrote and told her that I put this up as a radio ad, and she was really touched and really appreciated it, and said, thank you for paying some attention to that poor little orphan book. Cause she basically, like, she's so busy. She makes a living doing her own stuff like I do. And it's like, you put something out there and you promote it for a week and then you go on to other things and you don't have time to follow up on it. And she does a blog on, what's the site? Backwoods Home Magazine. Home. Yeah. And if you just search Claire Wolfe blog, it'll be the first thing that comes up. C-L-A-I-R-E-W-O-L-F-E. And she's kind of calmed a bit over the years. Like, she wrote 15 years ago, you know, I mean, she had a book called 101 Things to Do Till the Revolution. And she's in one of her books, you know, her most famous quote is, this is from about 15 years ago. She said, in 1994, she said, it's too late to change anything by voting, and it's too early to shoot the bastards.
Early to shoot them.
But she's not that, like, up in arms anymore. She's a lot more like peace, you know, peace is the answer, but still you should own guns.
Right.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com. freedomfiends.com.
Great, live, awesome. And you're telling me about the internets here. Yeah. Freedom Fiends.
Hello.
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 Hello. So,
hello.
You wanted to know something about something. I asked you to send me a picture of you, and you sent me this link, and you're like, yeah, that's me, and all those pictures are me. And I'm looking at these pictures, and there's a picture of a black guy, there's a picture of a white guy, there's a picture of a white woman, there's a picture of a Chinese woman. These people aren't all you, okay?
No, that's Bootsy Collins up top. We actually know Bootsy. Okay. He's a friend of ours. Ironically, he hangs out with us. No, I'm down at the bottom. I'm the guy with the beard and the cowboy hat and the Jamaicans hanging out.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, your friend, I got the blue.
Trying to pull a fast one on me here. So you asked me something about some song. What was it?
Oh, Lee Greenwood. Did you make it through the July 4th weekend without hearing Lee Greenwood's God Bless America, God Bless the USA once?
I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. What is that?
It's one of
these pictures you sent and said is you. It's a picture of Jerry Garcia. Come on, man.
No, I said not every picture in there is me.
I'd be making
tons of money and having, all right.
You'd be dead.
But, yeah, so Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. It's that one that goes from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, mm-hmm. you know. And it's like an old school 80s, maybe even 70s, late 70s, but I think it's just the 80s. It plays every 4th of July.
I've never heard it. Never heard it.
Yeah, you cannot escape it here. And it's a country song. And so there's been some parodies made of it, and a lot of people have kind of like said, nah,
dude,
I don't like that.
Dude, one of these pictures you said is you is like John Phillips from The Mamas and the Papas.
I know. I've got a lot of pictures in there from like music shows.
After the show, like send me pictures of you, not a web page that's got 100 people on it. Okay, so finish up with this patriotic song you're talking about, and then we'll gird our loins against the state.
Well, basically, here, you can't escape hearing that song anytime people have actually pulled up at stoplights and they've got their windows rolled down. You hear God Bless the USA from the lakes of Minnesota. And Lee Greenwood's song just kind of just takes off. And you won't hear it any other time of the year.
They're Southerners with Stockholm Syndrome. they want the South to rise again, but they're worshiping the people that kept the South from rising.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I guess the whole topic of conversation tonight that we've been having about liberty is that there are a lot of influences, whether it's gay Muslim Thor, you know, killing Archie, to, you know, feds infiltrating your favorite con prep event.
I think you sent me this page and they quickly like diverted it to another page. So I'll never know never know what my friend Jack looks like.
But the thing about it is that most of the time, if you just sit and stop and use reason and logic and do a little research and figure out what it is that you're being presented with, if you're being asked to hold two simultaneously divergent ideas in your mind at the same time, then that's probably something you should question and ask. And people that are telling you that you should resort to violence without giving you a good reason that you're under immediate threat from some type of danger, I mean, those people you should be suspicious of.
They're government agents, yeah. Probably. Or they're just crazy, and they're not going to help your movement at all, no matter what your movement is.
Right.
And that doesn't make us a tree hugger. That doesn't make us tree huggers. But you know why I said tree huggers, right? Because I think you sent me a picture of you actually hugging a tree. Is this you hugging
a
tree?
That is me hugging a tree. You've discovered the me in your photos.
Yeah, this guy's got like, you know, assault weapons all over him, around him, but he's wearing a tie-dye t-shirt and he's hugging a tree. That's kind of cool, man. I like it.
Assault weapons.
I've ran a lot since then. I got about 12 in today.
Yeah.
And I've run a lot. So I'm about 20 or 30 pounds heavier in that picture, but that is me.
I was going to say, if you were going to say you run a lot and lost 20 pounds, this person would disappear. This guy's skinny.
Yeah. Well, you know.
All right.
And that's our moral story for tonight, folks.
That's our moral story for the night. libertarian yeah. moralism with the Freedom Fiends.
Watch out for guys in wingtips.
Yeah, we'll be just on their heads. We'll be back on Saturday morning with Bill Buepert talking about the Rwandan genocide and how you can keep a similar thing from happening to your neighborhood. All right, man. Say worms.
Worms, man.